Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good morning.
All right. We got a few of us around the table today, so this ought to be a pretty good session. It's just kind of pressed upon my spirit here as of late. I look into our world, and particularly here in America, we've got all kinds of challenges in our midst. I'm sure our listening audience is aware of all those, so there's really no purpose to rehash those type of things explicitly, but it's just kind of moved me to take a closer look at what we call the heart of Christ, right? The heart of Jesus. I think sometimes we get too caught up in our minds, which has a purpose, it does, as well as our will, which has a purpose, it does. But how well are we doing with our heart, right? The effectivity of our Christian walk. Not the effectivity, but the affectivity, you know, the kind of the seat of our emotion. If I had to sum that up in one word, you know, are our words, our deeds, our lives, our spirits reflecting the compassion of Christ? So the scripture text, I wanted to kind of draw toward that. Really comes from some words we find off the lips of Paul in Luke's writing of the book of Acts, chapter 13. And I'll read verses 20, let me find this real quick, 21 through 23, just a couple verses. All right, Paul is with Barnabas, he's in Antioch, and he's kind of given this litany of the journey of God's chosen people of Israel up to what Jesus has done upon the cross. All right? In the middle of that, at verse 21, he says, "Then they asked for a king, and God gave Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. When he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my heart, who will carry out all my wishes.'" And then further even, "Of this man's posterity, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised." So I find it fascinating. I mean, Paul's referring back to 1 Samuel chapter 13, where Samuel is then criticizing King Saul about the errors of his ways, and that God is going to replace him with one who is after his own heart. And yes, we can look at the life of David, and he has some shortcomings, so we can look at our lives, we have some shortcomings, but it's interesting for me that here Paul cites the heart of David being like the heart of God, and on the heels of that says the Savior. And so when I think about our hearts, I guess the question is, how well are our hearts in alignment with God? Because when we look at the life of Jesus, there are several of those stories in the gospel narratives that reflect his heart. Not so much his mind, not so much his will, but his heart. The prodigal son, with the father running out to meet his long-lost son. The good Samaritan, right, is certainly a reflection of the heart ideal of Christ. Jesus weeping at Lazarus's tomb. Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. The prostitute who anoints his hair, or anoints his feet with her hair. And John, the first sign of Jesus turning water into wine. Right? The feeding of the multitudes. Right? The touching of the beggar. Right? It go on and on. It seems to us almost every action Jesus seems to have. Right? In the garden when he says, look, I didn't come to bring peace but division. That division isn't like some sword or some weapon. The weapon is the heart of God. It divides. Right? And so I'm just thinking the climate that we here in the 21st century humanity is experiencing right now is, if I had to say anything, we could really use the heart of Christ right now. That's a nice blanket statement. I got to bring that home. How well am I doing, all right, in my own spiritual journey on reflecting the heart of Christ? Because the theology throughout the church has always been, when we see the heart of Christ, we see the heart of God. And so the very heart of God dwelt in Jesus of Nazareth. Thus he could easily say, I am the temple. Right? The heart of God is in me. And then Paul later says, don't you realize that you are a temple? Which implies that heart's supposed to be in us. So I'm just curious, that's been on my heart. I don't know if it resonates with everybody else, the rest of you gentlemen gathered here this morning, but that's kind of the direction I was hoping we could go. I'm sure our listening audience would appreciate. I think they can probably relate some. All things that, right, everybody's going through these days. But
I think, too, like, if I was to look at it, sometimes you think about, like, especially right now, it's the summertime, so a lot of us, even though with everything kind of been going on, we have been limited in how we interact with one another. We're not allowed to really visit one another at a lot of times. So when we did, we know people were coming over our homes. We spent a lot of time cleaning up the surface, right? We spent a lot of time making sure our surface is taken care of. So when people come in our home, that looks good on us. So do we treat Jesus' heart like that? Do we treat it in the sense that, do we look good on it from the outside? Does our insides look as good as we do on the outside sometimes? Is that the love we're trying to represent? Or do we really, is our heart inside of us clean? Is it pure? Is it have the love for all humanity? Because I mean, that's that whole, I think sacred heart is Jesus' love for humanity, for all things. Human, animals, anything and everything that was created by his Father, he respected. And I think that's what we have to kind of look at is our heart had that same respect. So if we're willing to clean the inside, clean our homes, our yards, manicure these lawns, do we do that to God's house, which is the world? It's everything beyond. It's not a structure of a church. It's everything that he created. Are we out there taking care of that? If it's not just the environment, but the people that live in that. Are we taking care of them, those who are hurting the most? And I think that's where for me, I had to sit there and reflect on what is the sacrifice that I'm willing to give in my life to be able to take care of those who need it more than I do. And again, it's a struggle because you see the nice things out there in the world, and you want those things, but sometimes you have to look back and say, there's others who need something, need more than I have to give. They need that, what I have to give and what I can give them. And so I'm willing to make that sacrifice. So I think for all of us, we need to take a look at it. What sacrifices are we willing to take care of God's world, his place, his people? And that's all of us. That's all humanity. No matter what you look like or what's going on in your life, you are loved. And that's what he keeps telling us. That's why he brought his only son here to tell us that and to show us that way, to lead us to do that and then to take us side by side with him to learn how to do that. And I think we're falling short a lot of times in that process of being side by side with him. We want to step back sometimes and view him, but when we do that, we're not living the same way. We're missing something. We're missing a step.
I love that. If I had to put a word on that, I think we alluded to it. I mean, that's compassion, right?
Yeah.
And compassion just isn't an empathy or pity or anything like that. I mean, compassion is a willingness to suffer with the other.
Yeah.
Suffer with is exactly what it means. Con, right? With, atios, suffer. Suffer with. But I think, you know, sometimes we think suffering with can be like an act of cure. It can be an intellectual exercise.
Yeah.
Right? I can intellectually, I should be a good neighbor, so I'll go do this.
Yeah.
That's very different than being moved from the heart to where, in a sense, my heart is broken over your suffering, and therefore I'm going to be with you in it. I mean, can we actually cure somebody if we don't care for them?
No, it's not pity. That becomes more pity when you do things because you feel like you have to do it, rather than it's not when it doesn't. When it comes from the heart, that's compassion. When you're driven to want to help, that's real love. That's that true love that a lot of us will keep talking about what we want, but we're not really finding that because we're not really driven by what's inside of us.
It's interesting. Was there something you wanted to add?
Mm-mm. No, I'm just thinking.
Okay.
We're at this point where like we're after this coronavirus, or kind of like the backlash of the coronavirus. And people are kind of in that weird middle ground where you're thinking too much, but you're not thinking about anything. It's like, that's what you should be thinking about. If you can't think about anything, maybe it's broader, you know, thought or idea being brought to you, you know, by Jesus. To be like, hey, look, like, you got everything you need, so you need to, you know, need to think about some stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think all of our cultural activity at the moment.
It's at like a stagnant standstill.
But I think all of them that we have going on in our country and even throughout the world, literally are invitations to our compassionate heart. I think there are times we try to address those from an intellectualism, thus it's the mind. And yes, we should love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, right? But then I think there are other times we want to satisfy our will. And there's places for that, right? I mean, interesting. Throughout Christianity, we don't have anything about the sacred mind of Christ or the sacred will of Christ. It's always the sacred heart. You know, it's kind of where we see most visibly the living presence of God.
Yeah, and I think it's cool because it's almost a fun time for me because I'm pretty, I a lot of my views align with Buddhism, and it's... You fall into the as the news would say now, the Karens, and they talk about, you know, do your meditation, blah, blah, blah. That's like kind of what that is like, if you don't know what to think about, maybe you should think about what's calling to you. Because you can't convince me that there's no, you know, force or anything out there, like, kind of just like, you know, forcing you to kind of think about stuff.
No, you know, yeah, I think that, you know, there's always that free will argument and what have you. I think what we're talking about here is, well, whether it be, you know, the social injustice issues that have permeated our culture for really decades, all right? Sexism, racism, even goes on and on. We have a health issue going on. All these affect, as Tim rightly said, human beings. And how effective am I, right, from any perspective, right, if I'm not effectively touched? And that's what I mean. You know, there are certain things when I'm looking on the TV or... if I'm not broken, I'm not going to be moved. I mean, Paul speaks a lot. He's like, look at the gospel of Christ. I'm compelled to share this. All right? That there's this living word. There's this alternative way. What in the first century, and there's an alternative way today. And I think I'm just trying to recognize that there seems to be somewhat of a missing component. It's not to say that it's completely deplete or absent. All right? But sometimes, you know, what really moves me to be broken and related to those who are suffering and practice compassion is for me to embrace my own immortality. I remember when we were young, we have grandparents or older aunts, uncles, and things like that. And, if you're 10, 12 years old and you got your great grandfather, you know, that occasionally he talks about, well, you know, I'm not far from the grave, or when I die, don't just take me out to the woods, or whatever that humorous comment may be. And now here I am, nearly 50 years older, and all of a sudden I find myself being more appreciative, almost like, okay, can I get those lessons of wisdom again? Right? An intentionality to recognize my own mortality, and then to learn to be comfortable. Because then when I see other people's mortality being threatened, that's actually an invitation to solidarity in a spirit of compassion, which I would call that's the heart of Christ type thing, right? There's just reflections, some things that have been on my own heart.
I think it's the time. Like, I think this is an opening where we've had... In some ways, there's been a huge distraction, but there's also been enough downtime to be less distraction when, you don't have to drive to work. A lot of us weren't driving to work anymore. So you had that distraction was kind of eliminated. Yeah, you had the distraction of with the health concerns with COVID and stuff, but there was, you had time to reflect on things. And you're less, you weren't around as many people, so you kind of had less people you could judge.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time in our life judging people. And instead of really looking and in some ways judging ourselves, we don't really spend a lot of time judging, which I wouldn't say judging it, but, the same concept. We don't have enough time reflecting where our hearts really are taking us, and where we should really be standing and caring and willing the good of everyone around us, no matter their circumstances, because during this whole time and being in the field, we do the stuff we do and the people we serve, I didn't hear a lot of people talking about, How is the addict getting through COVID? That wasn't really coming out a lot.
Right.
We had a lot of people in the community saying, we had a lot of people help us and support us in this community to keep, us going and stuff like that. So that was, a great blessing. There wasn't really a lot of conversations about the addict in the community. The people that are really suffering, the ones who had really nobody to turn to in some ways in their life. That was really, to me, that's more of what I've been reflecting on lately is how that could have been really lonely for a lot of them.
It probably still is. It's not exactly a past event yet.
No, we're still going through it. Yeah. So it's like, how do we get to reach to them? And I'm glad that we kind of opened our doors back open for that.
Yeah.
Is, we kind of got ourselves in a place where we can allow people back in and open our hearts, allow them to feel safe. And so I hope, we start seeing more of that, more people coming in to be able to really feel safe and we can help them with maybe find some hope in their life to make change, transformation.
Good. Good stuff. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your reflections and comments on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves food pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.